In the book of 1 Timothy,
在提摩太前书,
Paul has been spelling out for the people in the church of Ephesus through the pastor Timothy.
保罗在告通过提摩太的告诉在以弗所的教会
very specifically how we ought to behave within the church.
很具体的讲，我们应该在教会里如何的行。
And so thus far, we've seen commands concerning prayer.
到现在我们已经看到了关于祷告的命令。
Women, pastors, and deacons.
女人、牧师、执事。
False teaching.
假教导。
The role of the function in the setup of the church ministry.
教会的施工还有它的构建。
And the widows within the church.
还有在教会里面的寡妇。
Paul then turns his attention on how the church is supposed to treat the leadership within the church.
现在保罗把注意力转向如何对待在执道会里面的领导。
And he begins in verse 17 by saying, Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching and teaching.
他用17节开始，那善于管理教会的长老，当以为配受加倍的敬奉。那劳苦传道教导人的更当如此。
And this verse here implies three categories of elders.
在这个经文，这节经文里，它暗示了有三种长老。
And it's not that these are different kinds of elders.
不是三种不同的长老。
It's not as some say that this defines a definition between a ruling elder and a teaching elder.
这不是在说他这里定义了有那种教导的长老还有管理的长老，不是在讲这个。
Remember, we already know from chapter 3 that all elders are supposed to be able to teach.
回忆一下，在第三章我们知道所有的长老都应该教导。
But it is really defining the manner in which they do their job.
但是这里十七节主要是在讲他们如何的来做他们的工作。
And the first category is an implied category. It's the elders who rule.
第一类是他这里暗示的就是说管理教会的长老。
We'll speak of what this term rule means in a moment.
我们要讲这个管理这个词马上会讲。
The second category is elders who rule well.
第二类是那些善于管理教会的长老。
They do their job in a good manner.
他们的工作是做一种善于的擅长的很好的一种方式。
And the third category is elders who rule well by means of their preaching and their teaching.
第三类是那些善于管理教会的长老，他们是靠着劳苦传道、教导人来管理教会。
And in the mind of the Apostle Paul, this is the absolute best category for church ministers.
在保罗的思想里面，这种是绝对是最好的，在教会里面的教导。
So this brings up a question.
所以这样就有一个问题。
What is an elder?
长老是谁？
An elder is the recognized, appointed shepherd of the flock.
长老是被认识、被能识别出来的，然后也被是案例的牧群羊的牧人。
Let me point out two operative words here.
我让他要指出两个词。
Number one, we stated that they are recognized.
他们被认识的出来。
That is to say that the church has noticed that this person meets the qualification according to 1 Timothy 3, according to Titus chapter 1.
这就是说教会能够辨识的出来，照着提摩太前书和提多书里面的教导，证实出来他是一个合格的、合乎长老的资格的。
And number two, they are appointed.
然后他们也是被任命的、被按立的。
These are men or a group of men that the church has chosen to lead them.
就是一个人或者是一群一个男人或者是一群男人，教会选出来。让他们来带领这个教会。
These are the overseers of the church and its administration.
这个是教会事工的监督。
And as we've stated in our doctrinal statement,
正如在我们的信仰告白里面，
the terms elder, bishop, and pastor are essentially synonymous.
监督、长老、牧师是同义的。
And they point to one specific office of gentle and firm leadership before the local church.
他们是在指一个地方教会有一个温柔的但是有力的领导。
Now this concept of rule literally means to stand before.
这个管理的这个概念，它实际上命，它的意思就是说站在面前。
It's not rule in the sense of what we normally think of in a sense of dictatorship.
不是我们通常所理解的那种独裁的这样一种专制的这样一种方式。
It instead is leadership.
它是一种领导。
It's not the making of arbitrary decisions.
不是随意的做决定,
it's exercising influence from wisdom and from Scripture.
而是施加他的影响是从智慧，也是从圣经里面。
Now, as you know,
正如你们所知道的,
I am not an elder or a pastor of this church.
我不是这个教会的长老，也不是这个教会的牧师。
It is the elder's duty to rule.
是长老的责任来管理教会。
And thus, for me, it is not my duty to rule or to lead this local congregation.
因此对他来说，不是他的责任来管理、来带领这个教会。
Now, having stated that fact,
说了这个事实以后,
for those who were in the congregational meeting last Sunday,
那些上一周在会员大会也在场的会员们,
there was a young man in our youth group who's under discussion.
我们讨论到我们青年人当中有一个年轻的一个,
because before his baptism,
因为在他的受浸之前,
I counseled him to refrain from playing the piano for a certain amount of time.
我建议他有一段时间先不要私情,
and I suggested that he not play piano for 6 months in order to protect his reputation.
我建议他6个月不要私情，这样来保护他的名声。
So that no one within the church or outside of the church could charge him with false faith and false baptism.
这样的话，教会里面或者是教会外面的人就不能够来控告他说他的信仰是不真实的，他的敬礼也是不真实的。
In order for the purpose of simply filling a position as a church pianist.
仅仅就是为了能够私情来领受敬礼。
I have heard his confession of faith beforehand.
我听到了他的信仰的告白。
And I did accept him as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ.
我接受他是主耶稣基督的信徒。
And since I am not an elder, this waiting period was not given as a rulership decision from a pastor.
因为我不是教会的领导，所以说我这个也不是作为一个命令给出来的。
But a suggestion from a Christian friend and brother.
而是一个基督徒的朋友和弟兄给出来的一个建议。
And having stated thus, I want to express my deepest regret.
说了这些以后，我要表达我最深的遗憾。
That my counsel was received as a command.
我的建议被理解成了一个命令。
Even though my suggestion was not treated as such.
尽管我的建议并没有被作为一个命令来接受。
My failure in doing so was to communicate this suggestion to both pastor and the deacons.
我没有能够很好地把这个跟牧师和执事们能够讲清楚。
It is a mistake for which I have already apologized.
这个错误我已经道歉了。
And so now, I openly apologize for this misunderstanding regarding my role in the church. And for the misunderstanding regarding the esteem for which I hold this member of the youth group. To his family, I express thankfulness for your faithfulness in training your son. And the door is open to you and your family for Christian fellowship. For mutual Christian strengthening. And for Christian love. And so the duty of an elder is to lead his flock and to lead it well.
所以说长老的责任是带领他的羊群,
and as it says in verse 17, those who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor.
在17节里边说的,
and as we mentioned last week, especially from verse 3 in this chapter, and the context that's stated in the rest of the chapter concerning the financial care of the widows, that this term honor functionally means a paid salary. And here Paul is not necessarily making commands concerning the elders' pay.
Paul
But he's speaking specifically of the church's attitude concerning the elders' pay. Look what it says carefully in verse 17. It says, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor. And so the scriptures say to consider such a man worthy of the pay that he receives. The people in the church know whether the man is worthy or not. They know by the manner in which he leads his life. They especially know it if they see him preaching and teaching faithfully the Word of God week after week. And so Paul says, in your mind, consider such a man worthy of a double salary. You have the God-given privilege, honor, and duty. To help and to serve a man who may have given up fame, career, money, wealth, and time to help serve you and lead you in a spiritual fashion. And a man who does this job well, your response is gratitude for God. And you demonstrate your gratitude to Him. You demonstrate His worth. By giving Him a salary that provides for His needs and for the needs of His family. And so some might say, well, this is simply Paul speaking. This isn't really a command. In order for Paul to bolster his argument here, he then quotes from two sources. In verse 18, he quotes from the Old Testament law. And he also quotes from the New Testament Gospel of Luke in the words of Jesus Christ. Let me read to you verse 18 first. He says, for Scripture says, so he appeals to the Word of God. He says, you shall not muzzle out an ox when it treads out the grain. And he says, the laborer deserves his wages. Hold your finger here and turn to Deuteronomy
25.
In Deuteronomy 25, verse 4,
25章,
there's a list of commands within the law.
25章24节有一些很多的关于命令.
And one of these commands is specifically speaking about care for animals. And this is what verse 4 says.
这是第四节这里讲到的,25章24节.
You shall not muzzle an ox when it is treading out the grain. In the ancient Near Eastern world, animals were often used as beasts of burden. So your ox would pull the plow. Your ox would pull the cart that moves the grain after you've loaded it up. You would connect the ox to the millstone so that he could grind out the flour. And a farmer who was unkind to his animal in order to harvest more grain, in order to make more money from harvesting that grain, he would put a muzzle over the mouth of the ox so that the ox could not eat while he was working. And so God commands against this. How many of you have ever in here worked some sort of manual labor job where you're working mostly with your hands? Either in construction or for a package shipping company or something of that manner. If you spend a long day doing real manual labor, eight hours, 10 hours, 12 hours, after a while you get kind of hungry. You've burnt a lot of energy. And you know, if you've gone for 8 hours while working hard and you haven't eaten a thing, the thought that's in your mind, and you feel it's gnawing at your stomach, and it speaks and says, I have to have food. And so how are you supposed to treat your ox? Is that while you're pulling the plow, and you stop the plow for a moment to rest, your ox leans over and, you know, grabs a bite of a head of grain. And as you're grinding the flour in the mill, the ox stops for a moment. And he bends down. And he takes a mouthful of the barley. And he eats it. And so Paul uses this concept of treating a workhorse well, allowing him to eat of the work that he does. And he argues that a pastor who is doing the work of the ministry has a right to be fed, to be clothed, and to be housed based on his work of the ministry. Turn to Luke chapter 10, verse
7.
In this passage, the Lord sends out 72 to go and preach and teach the message of the kingdom. And in verse 5, you're supposed to enter into the house. You're supposed to stay with people in the various villages. And in verse 7, Jesus said that you are to remain in the same house. You're supposed to eat and drink what they provide. And he says this reason. The laborer deserves his wages. So these 72 men who are going and preaching and teaching the message of the kingdom, that they deserve to stay in this person's house, they deserve to be fed based upon the work that they're doing. And so the Apostle Paul is arguing that a pastor deserves to be fed from his ministry. This concept is not foreign to other places in Paul's thinking. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Usually when Paul is speaking about the right that a pastor has to be paid, he is speaking in terms of his own ministry that he has chosen not to be paid for the ministry so as not to do damage to the gospel of new believers. And let me read chapter 9, verses 1 through 12, and you can follow along with me.
哥林多前书第9章第11到12节, 他会读, 我们一起看。
Am I not free? Am I not an apostle? Have not I seen Jesus our Lord? Are you not my workmanship in the Lord? If to others I am not an apostle, at least I am to you, for you are the seal of my apostleship to the Lord. This is my defense to those who would examine me. Do we not have the right to eat and drink? And his understood answer is yes. Do we not have the right to take along a believing wife, as do the other apostles and the brothers of our Lord and Cephas? Or is it only Barnabas and I who have no right to refrain from working for a living, who serves as a soldier at his own expense, who plants a vineyard without eating any of its fruit, or who tends a flock without getting some of its milk? Do I say these things on human authority? Does not the law say the same? For it is written in the law of Moses, here's this verse again, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. Isn't it for oxen that God is concerned? It was written for our sake, because the plowman should plow in hope, and the thresher thresh in hope of sharing in the crop. If we have sown spiritual things among you, is it too much if we reap material things from you? If others share this rightful claim on you, do not we even more? And so Paul clearly argues that those who serve in a spiritual manner have a fundamental right to receive material provision from it. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter
3.
2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 12.
第3到第6节。 对，第6节到12节。
2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 12. Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who's walking in laziness and not in accord from the tradition you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not lazy when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with toil and labor we worked night and day, so that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right.
接下来我们一下前书后书第三章第六到第六节开始，他这里说不是我们没有这样的权利。
But to give you and ourselves an example to imitate. And so Paul is saying that we had a right to be fed from the ministry of the gospel. And so this concept that is in our minds, perhaps we pay our pastor too much, is contrary to this command in 1 Timothy 5:17. We should not be thinking in terms of, are we paying our pastor too much? Especially if he is a man who is leading and serving the church well. We should be thinking, how can we be more of a blessing to this man? And And so our first command here is a command concerning the elders' pay. Verses 19 and 20. They give commands concerning an elder's discipline. Here is what Scripture says. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all so that the rest may stand in fear. Let me begin by saying the following. Elders, pastors, deacons, church leadership. They're human still. As soon as someone becomes a pastor, he's not zapped by God into some form of perfectionism. It would be nice if he was. You have your ordination ceremony. The people lay their hands on you. And that guarantees that your pastor will never sin again, right? Wrong. Your pastor still has a sin nature. Your pastor will still sin. Your pastor will still make mistakes. However, having been a person who goes through the process of 1 Timothy chapter
3,
the pastor is supposed to be living a life of extremely high moral character. His moral character is supposed to be a Christian par excellence, how a Christian is supposed to look. And so based on his past character, there is a modicum of protection against false accusations. And so an accusation of sin against an elder is serious. And so Paul commands Timothy that there's a need for 2 to 3 witnesses of the sinful act or event. If one has sinned, you need to deal with the sin. The biblical manner in dealing with the sin is through the mouths of the witnesses. Now let's be absolutely clear on what a witness actually is. A witness is one who has first-hand knowledge of the sinful act. Say, for instance, that someone was offended by an action of one of the pastors. And this offense happened within a private conversation. And this member of the congregation is so convinced that the pastor committed a sin. That they go and they tell their friend, "Did you hear what the pastor did?" And then when it comes time for the public accusation, see, I have a witness, they know about it too. But how did they know about the issue? They heard it from the church member who's gossiping about what the pastor said to begin with. This is not what the Apostle Paul means when he uses the term witness.
说见证这个词的时候，他的意思不是这个意思。
A witness is one who has first-hand knowledge or experience of that sinful act.
见证是要有亲身的第一手的见证经历这样子。
In other words, they are either one who has directly experienced the offense from the pastor.
换句话说，也就是说，这个人他亲身的经历到了这个长老的伤害。
Or they are one who has directly witnessed the offense.
或者是他直接的看到了这样一种伤害。
And these accusations must still be dealt with in the Matthew 18 manner.
然后这些指责也仍然是要按照马太福音十八章教导的来做。
Where you have concentric circles.Of level of publicness of the event.
有一个不断的像同心圆一样慢慢的扩展开这样一个圈子。
That is to say, unless he commits his sin publicly against the entire church.
除非他是公开的犯了这个罪，得罪了整个的教会。
In verse 20,
在第二十节
Paul says that the pastor and elders who continue in this sinful action.
就是说那些长老他继续的在这样的罪里面的。
That is to say that they refuse to repent of the actions that they have done.
也就是他们拒绝他们为他们所犯的这个罪来悔改。
The response is to rebuke him before the entire congregation.
责任那这个时候的责任就是要在众人面前责备他。
And you do it so that the rest of the elders and the pastors in the church would see the example of discipline.
这样的话就可以叫教会里其他的长老牧师看到。
And you do it so that the entire congregation would see the clear example of church discipline.
让整个教会可以清楚地看到教会的这样一种处分。
And they would thus fear and be less susceptible to sin because they realize their own weaknesses.
就这样的话，长老牧师他们就看到了，他们就会惧怕，然后因为他们自己的软弱，他们就会惧怕。
Let me give a personal example again.
我给你一个我自己私人的一个例子。
Although I am not a pastor or an elder.
尽管我不是一个牧师，也不是一个长老。
I too am a flawed man with faults.
但我仍然是一个有罪的一个人。
I naturally have a reclusive personality.
我有一种很隐居的那种很这样一种性格。
I would rather spend 8 hours working in a library.
我宁可花八个小时在图书馆里面。
Than 1 hour speaking on the phone with someone.
也不喜欢花一个小时在电话上跟某个人讲。
My personal training.
我自己所接受的训练
both from my parents and from FedEx.
从我的父亲 和从 FedEx 他工作上面得到的训练
I've been trained in a mindset to stay on task and stay on top of the next thing that you have to finish.
他接受到的训练就是说你要很好的及时的来处理他的任务
So in my mind,
就在他的思想里面
and in my actions,
在他的行为当中
time sometimes becomes more important than people.
时间可能比人更重要。
And this is wrong.
这样，这个是不对的。
And in my actions, thus,
因此我的行为，他的行为
I have my mind focused on the next thing that's happening.
他的思想就是专注在下一件会发生的事情上面。
And so I end up ignoring some.
就说他就会忽视掉其他的一些。
And I end up not appearing friendly to others.
所以我就看起来就对人不友善。
And so for these actions,
这些行为
I admit my fault.
我承认我自己的错误。
And according to James 5,
按照雅各书第五章,
I ask for forgiveness and prayer from the congregation on this.
我请求会众的原谅，也请求会众为我的祷告。
Verses 21 and 22,
20到21节,
Paul gives commands concerning the choosing of the elders.
保罗给了如何来选长老。
And we begin with the concept of ordination.
我们以一个就是案例的这样一种来开始。
Ordination is something that's little understood within the New Testament.
案例在新约里是被很理解的很不清楚的。
We see the events happening.
我们看到这样的仪式。
The choosing of elders.
选择一个长老。
The laying on of hands of some to demonstrate leadership.
然后按手在他身上来显明他的领导。
But ordination is simply official church recognition that a person is qualified for pastoral ministry for the office of an elder.
案例只是就是说显明这个人他已经合格了作为一个长老这样的一个职位。
Paul commands that the process of ordination should not be done in haste.
保罗这里命令说这样不可
It's what it says in verse 22. Do not be hasty in laying on of hands. We do not choose or ordain elders right away because we think that we have a need for them. But we choose elders from men who are obviously qualified. Both because of their lives and in their ability to teach, both content and delivery, and their life demonstrates good Christian character and maturity. So presently within our church, we do not have anyone who is a pastor and elder. And so let me give some recommendations during this time. Number one, we should not choose an elder because we need them if none are qualified. Number two, we should pray that God sends a man quickly to pastor our congregation. Number three, we should examine our own lives, especially the men here, to see what areas in our life specifically hinder us from meeting the qualifications of being an elder. Number four, we should ask if we really want to be leaders and servants in our church. And so we need to answer some questions. What is our church for? Is it our little public social club? Or is it for something else? Turn over to the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 7 through 14. In verse 7, it says, grace was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And then look down in verse 11. And in verse 11 it says, and he, that's Christ, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and pastor teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of faith, the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried around by every wind of doctrine.
建立基督的身体，只等到我们众人在真道上同归于一，认识神的儿子，得以长大成人，满有基督长成的身量，使我们不再做小孩子，中了人的诡计和欺骗的法术，被一切异教之风摇动，飘来飘去，就随从各样的异端。
So what Paul is saying is that the purpose of pastoral leadership,
就说保罗这里说牧师的领导,
is to lead the church into Christian maturity. And not only that,
而且不仅仅是这样,
the words that Paul proclaims the pastor to be in verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 4,
保罗在以弗所书这里11节这里讲到的,
is that he is the gift of Christ to your local church.
牧师他这里是,
have you ever viewed your pastor as a gift from God? When your pastor was here, did you view him as a gift given by Jesus Christ for this church, for this time?
When
It really goes back to our attitude, as we saw in 1 Timothy 5:17. Let him be considered worthy of double honor.
回到了提摩太前书第五章十七节，当以为是配受加倍的奖赏。
And so we've seen commands concerning an elder's pay.
我们看了关于长老他的薪水。
We've seen commands concerning an elder's discipline.
我们看到了关于
We've seen commands concerning an elder's ordination. And in verses 21 through 25, we see commands concerning an elder's life. Verse 21 gives us a command against prejudice. It says, in the presence of God and Christ Jesus and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality.
21节,我在神和基督耶稣并蒙拣选的天使面前嘱咐你,要遵守这些话,不可存成见,行事也不可有偏心。
Pastors should not be prejudiced to other people in the church.
牧师不应该存成见对教会里面的人。
Ministry is not an us versus them mentality. It should never be viewed as the pastor versus the congregation. Or the pastor versus an individual family. To give an illustration in America of this. There's often, if you ever work within an operations, in a factory, or for some other company, there's the guy that's getting the work done, and then there's the manager telling him how to do his job. It becomes an us versus them. And this is not how the church is supposed to look. We treat all pastors within the church the same. And we treat all congregants within the church the same. And even within the congregation, outside of the pastors, we must act without prejudice. Congregants shouldn't divide themselves on issues of ethnicity or gender or social status or wealth or education or intelligence. Unfortunately, in America, we have white churches, black churches, Hispanic churches, Chinese churches, Russian churches. And within even some of these larger churches that are considered multi-ethnic, they still have their separate ministries to blacks and Hispanics and whites. But if Paul is really speaking on authoritative terms here in verse 21, then such prejudices ought not to exist within our church. The command in verse 22. Halfway through the verse, it says, do not take part in the sins of others. And so Paul is arguing here that you're not supposed to make someone else's gossip or offense or sin your own. If someone is gossiping about something in the church, be it in person or over the phone or over email, you need to refuse to listen. We need to stop listening to this. And if we stop listening, we demonstrate that we are concerned with our spirituality and our relationship with God. And thus we keep in line with the end of verse 22 that Paul says, we have kept ourselves pure. Verse 23. Paul says, no longer drink only water, but use a little wine for the sake of your stomach and your frequent ailments. And this verse essentially brings up a historical cultural issue. I'm not going to talk about concepts of the Christian and drinking alcohol in a social manner at this time. However, within the first century, they don't have modern-day filtration technology or standards concerning the cleanliness of water. Most wine within the first century was usually one part wine and three parts water. It was not possible for a person to really get inebriated from this mixture. A portion of Greek society, however, worshipped the god Bacchus. Bacchus is the Greek and Roman god of wine. And their acts of worship were usually spent drinking non-diluted wine and subsequently getting drunk. And Timothy, in order to separate himself from this pagan ritual, from this pagan practice, had refused to drink any wine, including that which was diluted. Even to the detriment of his own health. So Paul thus orders Timothy to use a little bit of wine when he drinks water. So that the alcohol could kill the bacteria which was in the water, and so that Timothy would not get sick. This verse is not a reason or excuse for Christians to be engaged in social drinking. And the verse does not necessarily give Christians liberty to drink. However, it does give reasoning for Christians to use alcohol and other chemicals for medicinal purposes. It is not wrong or against the Bible for a believer to take Tylenol or ibuprofen if they're in pain. It is not wrong for a believer to take a proper dose of NyQuil if he is sick and needs some relief for him to rest. Now, the abuse of these things is wrong. But Paul is stating that the medicinal use of these things is good. In verse 24 and 25, Paul gives final statements concerning the lives of the leadership of the church. He says that the sin of some men are conspicuous or hidden, going before them into judgment, but the sins of others appear later. So also good works are conspicuous, and even those that are not cannot remain hidden. The sins of some men are evident. They're obvious. They can be pointed out, and thus judgment can be declared. Proper discipline can be rendered. The sins of others are not so evident. Oftentimes, these are sins as bitterness and prejudice. But the effects of these sins will eventually be seen in the lives of the people. And Paul says, but in the same manner, some good works are evident. It's obvious and easy to see if a pastor is leading well by his public proclamation of Scripture. Some pastors do a better job in people's homes and in personal counseling. And so their leadership is not as obvious and not as evident. But eventually these good works come to light and they are well known. Let me ask you some questions. How do you view when you have a pastor of your church? Do you love him? Do you care for him? Do you, as the author of Hebrews commands, obey him? And remember, as Ephesians 4 says, this man is the gift from Christ. He's the gift to you, the church. Do you treat him like he's a gift? How do you respect him? How do you view his pay? Are you bitter against other people in the church? Are you prejudiced against other people who may be of a different ethnicity or social status or a level of education? Do you listen to gossip and thus take part in the sins of others? The pastor of a church is ultimately there because Christ wants him there. And as Christ says in Revelation that he can remove churches from existence, may I suggest that in the same way, he may remove pastors from a church. Possibly even because of the church's lack of care for the pastor. It's something to think about. We'll close in a word of prayer. And now, Father, we would like to give you thanks for the men who have come before in this church in pastoring. I do not know all of the men, but according to your word, they were all gifts from your Son. And Father, the men that you choose to be leadership within the church, we recognize that although they often have hearts of gold, they too, as men, have feet of clay. But Father, help us to see past their imperfections so that we may have an attitude of that they are the gift to the church that you have given. And Father, we pray that you would send us through your Son another man soon.
天父，我们祈求你借着你的儿子，你给我们另一个人。
One especially who will lead us and who will guide us according to your precious and holy word. We pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.